Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacists, The Flip Side of Feminism, and the revealing new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
I've been talking during these radio commentaries and in my new book called Who Killed the American Family about the legal concept called the best interest of the child. In recent years, those have been the magic words that let judges make decisions that rightfully should be made by a child's parents. A recent oral argument in the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court shows just how easy it is for judges to use the best interest of the child phrase to enact their personal preferences. This case was about same-sex marriage bans in Indiana and Wisconsin. Judge Richard Posner attacked the lawyers defending those bans by pointing to the children of the gay couples. The judge demanded, "These children would be better off if their parents could marry, right? It's obvious." Such a question shows how arrogant and out of touch judicial supremacists can be. Centuries of experience and scientific data show that children do best when they live with a mom and a dad. If we follow Judge Posner's reasoning, more children would grow up without enjoying the stability provided by the nuclear family. If he really favored a child's best interest, he would be leading the charge for traditional marriage. But Judge Posner has seized on a few words to overthrow entire laws. He threatened to undo laws that actually protect the interests of children. With the phrase, the best interest of the child, a judge's power has no limit. He can remake laws, imprison people, and impose onerous penalties based on his own personal preferences and prejudices instead of on any law passed by our elected representatives. Instead of giving judges this invitation to abuse their power, we should return responsibility for a child's best interest back to his own parents.
With the American family virtually destroyed, the government conveniently steps in to perform the tasks that should be done by mothers and fathers. The government gains power and freedom is lost. To get your copy of the book, Who Killed the American Family, autographed by Phyllis Schlafly at a special discount, go to eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
What are you thinking? Microplant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of microplant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Doreen C. Matthews and Sylvia M. Hooper of the FPA Foundation, and that website is fpafoundation.org. Just a quick note, I got a message this week from the office of Dr. Hal Huggins, who I've had on the program, and he did pass away, so I just want to mention that to all of you. So, but they, the office is still functioning, and they still have product and other things and information. But anyway, so Sylvia, right before we went to the break, I asked you if you had ever attempted to find your adoptive parent, and you said that they had used a different name or.
Yeah, my birth mother gave a fake name to the hospital. And so the New York Family, the foster care agency that had placed me into foster care, they don't have any information on her. There was an ACS case that was generated. They don't have any correct information on her, even address, nor did the hospital. So, you know, at this point, I really don't know what to believe or what else to do. You know, I've kind of reached out to, you know, different investigators and private detectives and the New York Registry, the Adoption Registry, rather, the Adoption Agency, the hospital, and, you know, I just keep getting no information. So it definitely is a difficult process.
Sure. And I can see why you would want to know, and I'm very close to a person that had that happen also. His mother left the hospital without signing him away, and so he was placed in a foster care situation, and the foster parents did adopt him, Yeah, I'm sure that that he's always kind of wondered, but you seem like you just have such a sense of knowing who you are that you and your adoptive parents obviously gave you a great foundation, and although it's probably seems like it would be a negative not to know. I think you're doing a really good thing, and I think that the efforts that you're making with the other people through this foundation are probably incredibly therapeutic, and I think you're doing a wonderful thing, and I applaud both of you.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
For giving back to the community, and creating a foundation where you can assist others. I think that's terrific. Absolutely.
Yeah, certainly. You know, as you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we are a completely volunteer organization. So every dollar that comes into our office goes into the space, the programs, you know, to assist the youth with furniture, with housewarming, with transportation, with clothing. So every single dime that we get goes back into the families that we support. So, you know, obviously we're not doing this to be, you know, Trump and be billionaires, you know, but really it's more so because we know that there's a need out there. And, you know, for me, I love doing the hands-on advocacy, really. You know, I love going into meetings and really making the agencies feel uncomfortable and really asking those difficult questions and really putting them on the hot seat. And I love, at the end of the day, to see, you know, one of our youths graduate on to be able to, you know, have their own apartment or to obtain employment and to go to college and to, you know, gain that independence that they should have and that they need to have. So that's really what drives us, you know, and motivates us in continuing to do the work. Because it definitely is challenging, but when you have these success stories, when you have families that have been reunited, when you have parents that are able to step up and then in turn provide peer advocacy to other parents. And so that's also part of our program, is giving back and advocating on behalf of another parent that comes behind you. That's really where, you know, we thrive, and that puts a smile on our face and, you know, allows us to feel like, all right, you know, we can do this another day. Despite the obstacles, despite the challenges, you know, that we face, and they are plenty, but, you know, it definitely allows us to feel like, you know, this is very needed, and, allows us to feel appreciated.
Doran,
yes.
How did the two of you meet? I think it's wonderful that you have somebody that you co-founded this organization with, but how did you happen to meet each other?
Okay, we both worked in a foster care agency in New York City, and I was the foster parent advocate, and Sylvia was the intake caseworker. So my job was to make sure that all the foster kids and that the foster parents were getting the supportive services from the agency. So, you know, me and Sylvia came together because we found out that there was a lot of families in the agency. They wasn't getting support. They were placing children in the homes of pedophiles. They were stealing money, the agency caseworkers, because in this agency, they would give the caseworkers the checks and say, you could put them in your personal account and then take the foster parents shopping. So there was a lot of theft being done in this foster care agency. So what we decided to do was, Sylvia had organized all of the parents, foster parents, and youth, and she set up a meeting to go down to 150 William Street to speak to the monitor. Now, in New York City, ACS has a monitor that monitors each foster care agency. So she got to speak to the person that was in charge of the monitor, and we brought all the families down to ACS office to make a complaint against this foster care agency. But then one of the parents had called the agency and said she didn't know where, she had forgot the number, she didn't know where this meeting was at. So when she called the foster care agency, my supervisor picked up and then, you know, called me and they started threatening me and saying, listen, you know, if you take a foster parent or a youth past 125th Street, your job would be in jeopardy. Then the executive director also called the HR department, and he forgot to hang his phone up. So his phone recorded him in the HR department talking about me and Sylvia. I had the message to this day saying that we whistleblowers and they got to watch out for us, so they don't know what we're going to go tell, you know, ACS. So, you know, ever since then, I sent my resume in, and we still took them down to the ACS office. But bigger than that, we contacted the news. We spoke to Channel 7, and we had an interview to go in there. And Channel 7 News wanted us to bring the social worker in, and they wanted to do an undercover. But then the social worker got scared. She didn't want to do it. And then what they started doing was scaring the families. And then the families started dropping off one by one. So after that, I was like, let's just start an advocacy organization where we could be a voice for the family. So we won't have to ever be in this type of situation again, because it is a conflict of interest to be an advocate for any forfeiture agency in New York City. You can't advocate for the client. If you do, the agency is going to want to terminate you because you're going against their mission. So it has to be an outside organization holding these forfeiture agencies accountable, you know, at the end of the day.
Wow. What a story. That is amazing. That is just amazing. And bless both of you for having the courage and the determination to set out on your own and to make a difference for these kids. That is terrific. All right, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com, or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Doran C. Matthews and Sylvia M. Hooper, and they are the co-founders of the FPA Foundation, and that website is F as in Frank, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, foundation.org, and they do take donations, and it looks like this would be a pretty good place to invest some money, because they are helping kids, And certainly, when your jobs were kind of on the line at the agency, at the bureaucratic agency, well, you did the right thing. You didn't cave, and that's a wonderful thing that you.
Yeah, I really didn't care about the. It wasn't about the job; it was the principle behind it. Because during that time, I had my bachelor's degree, and I was in my first year of doing my master's degree. So it wasn't even about the job; it was just the principle that you placing children in the homes of pedophiles. You guys are in here stealing money. This is supposed to be a foster care agency, and everybody in here is in on it, and nobody's saying nothing. So, we just had to speak out, at the end of the day. I can always find another job. I have a bachelor's degree, and so could Sylvia. I just can't work anywhere that I'm going to be compromising my integrity at the end of the day. And not only that, children are suffering, and nobody's saying anything about it. That's, like, disturbing to me.
Oh,
yeah. And I just want to add, too, it's really about integrity. I find that a lot of people that work in this field lack integrity. There's really an abuse of power. I know when I used to work at ACS, I had a couple of coworkers that had purchased police badges that would allow them to go and knock on doors and really, really aggressively intimidate families and, force them to feel like they had to open up their door. And then, once you put the badge down and you say you're from ACS, how are you really being transparent? How are you really trying to work with this family and allow them to feel as though you're going in to help and assist them and not tear their family apart? And that's why so many people in the community have such a fear of ACS or DISIS, whatever, it happens to be called in your particular state. People have a fear, and there's that fear that you're going to come in, you're going to tell lies on me and my family, you're going to then charge me with, various allegations, and then you're going to take my children away, and there's going to be nothing that I can do about it. And then, on top of that, you cannot hold the agencies accountable. There's no way to hold the system accountable. There's no checks and balances. So, we really believe in having integrity, and even telling parents, stand up for yourself. Stand up for your rights. You need to demand your respect. There are certain policies and laws that have been put in place to protect you, So therefore, if you don't stand up and demand that, then you're just going to allow them to walk right over you, and things are going to happen that are really not going to be able to be reversed.
Indeed. So there. So once they a parent comes under the scrutiny of the ACS, then these people lacking in integrity would intimidate them, and that is terrible, terrible. And how does one come under the scrutiny of the ACS to begin with?
A false allegation. Anybody can pick up the phone and call it against you. Say, for instance, your neighbor may not like you. They can pick up the phone and call in a CPS case against you, and then they can come out, and then that's how the investigation starts. You have a lot of people being victimized by a false allegation. And I'm talking about innocent parents whose rights have been stripped away over a false allegation. It's very serious. And it is, in New York City, it's a misdemeanor if you call it in and you lie, but it's very hard to prove it. You have to prove that that person called in that false allegation against you. But a lot of times, like I said, they lie. It's a lot of fabricated evidence against the parents at the end of the day. And if you don't have the money, like I said, to get an attorney, and you rely on the legal aid attorney that works for the city, they're going to throw you under the bus at the end of the day. Because again, these agencies, they want the incentive. They want the federal money. So it's all about the number of adoptions that they get, and they get bonus money each year for how many adoptions that they get. And the community needs to know about this incentive and know how these incentives are destroying the lives of children and families. They have to take out that ask for law. They have to take it out and put it back the way it was, because the system is now corrupted, because all they're thinking about now is getting those numbers so that they can have those adoptions, and the family courts are getting paid, the foster care agencies are getting paid, ACS is getting paid, or for destroying children and families.
And all of this money comes from the federal government.
Yes. Yes, and that's why we're trying to target the federal government this year. That's why we're going to be doing the Foster Care Town Hall meetings, because what we're going to do is, according to the federal government, ACS and the contracted agencies are supposed to be following guidelines. So if you're falsifying documents, that's fraud. So we're going to try to get as many parents and families to come forward with their documents, like I said, and try to open up some cases against them, because they're sitting here lying so that they can get this money, you know, at the end of the day. And you're, like, I had a case we were working on. It was an aunt who they gave her three of her nieces and nephews, but the fourth child, they put him up for adoption. She would sit to get three, but the fourth child, you put him up for adoption? This doesn't make sense. And we protested, you know, we did everything, you know, to bring awareness about her case, and she's not the only one. There's a lot of sibling groups being separated. Like I said, they're putting one up for adoption while the parent can keep two. It really doesn't make sense, and this is how they're getting funded, and this is how they're getting their money at the end of the day, all for these adoptions.
Wow.
And I just would like to add that, you know, I want to just give an example of just how corrupt and crazy the family court system is. So two separate incidents, one where birth mom has been fighting for custody of her son for 7 years. The birth father passed away, and after that he gave custody of his son to his wife instead of allowing the birth mother to have him. So she's been battling in court for the past 7 years to try to obtain custody, to even fight to have visitation with him. And so just recently when we went to court, the attorney said to her, listen, the judge is not going to be in favor of returning your son to you, and walked away and just nonchalantly said that, you know, like, she is not going to ever decide to give you your son back. She's not going in that direction, and kind of, you know, just lackadaisically saying to her, you know, you might as well just give up now, because you might as well not have any hope, because this is definitely not the direction she's moving in. Now, another situation, birth mother fighting for her two children, you know, a very educated woman who runs, she's the principal and founder of a school in Manhattan. She took it upon herself to contact the foster care agency and become the foster parent to these two children, and then began to start making allegations against the mom, basically because she wants to have her children. And so the family court system is completely against her. Her own attorney told her that she is the worst case that he's ever had. Basically, she's a delinquent, you know, parent. Her ship has sailed. And when we were in the court in front of the judge said to her, you know, whether or not you have representation, whether or not you have an attorney, by the time we have the next court date, I will be proceeding with terminating your rights. So if you're sending out that type of message that to parents, that regardless if you complete your service plan, regardless if your attorney is not really advocating on your best interest and advocating on your behalf, that you're going to be alone in this, and you're going to be alone in this fight. You're not going to know how to fight against the judges, the attorneys, and this ACS is more than foster care agencies, but you're going to be alone, and you're going to have to stand up against people, and there's really no help for you, because everyone that is in the court system kind of cooperates together because they want to make their job easier.
All righty. Sylvia, we are going to break. We'll be back.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Doran C. Matthews and Sylvia M. Hooper of the FPA Foundation. That website is fpafoundation.org. And Sylvia, you were talking about the judges and the lawyers, and it seems like they are just implying to the birth parents or to the parents who are trying to get their children that there is no hope and the system is rigged against them, and it appears that they are all in bed with the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the
exactly,
government.
Exactly, yes. We have a monthly meeting every first Saturday of the month, and I just finished having a conversation with the parents that you need to know that you're worthy. That you are worthy and deserving of your children, worthy and deserving of having your family restored. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to repeat over and over again because, you know, they really make you feel like you don't deserve your children, that you're inadequate, that you are not smart enough, that you're not, you know, making enough money, that you're poor, that you're uneducated. And so, therefore, because of all of that, because you're a minority, because you come from a low-income neighborhood, because your parents may have not finished high school or middle school, and you certainly did not go on to finish your high school education, that you somehow don't deserve the honor of raising your own children. And that is something that we are definitely completely against. Because just because someone makes a mistake that anyone in life can make, you know, there are times where people are have fallen on hard times, where they don't have enough food in the refrigerator, or they just don't have enough money to do the laundry and have the school uniform look as crisp as they would have liked. Or, you know, they're not able to buy their child a new coat for the winter. That doesn't mean that they don't love their child, that they don't want more for their child, and that there's in some way a neglect that they're placing upon their child. Instead of going into someone's home and really making the assertion that, you know what, this family has a foundation, they're coming from a good place, but they just need some extra support. Let me get them connected to some resources. Let me get them connected to a pantry. Let me go to the pantry myself and take the initiative and make the effort and bring them home some groceries. That's something that I did myself when I worked at ACS. You know, there was a time when I had went out and bought groceries at the store for a parent and brought them back. Because when I went to the home, there wasn't any food. And that was my own money. And, you know, and I say that to make the point that we really have to make sure we're hiring the right people, whether they're attorneys, whether they're judges, whether it's caseworkers, you know, that we're really hiring quality people that really want to provide quality services to help improve the lives of the families that you're coming across, to help restore the families and to keep them together.
Well, you were looking at it more holistically and looking at the whole situation and really offering the help that one should expect from ACS, from everybody there. It is absolutely so egregious to think that that ACS would place children in the home of a pedophile and yet worry about somebody that may not be educated, or maybe they're a little short on cash. I think that is just awful. Awful, awful, awful. And there are agencies out there. There are pantries out there that will provide food. And thank you for being who you are, that you're a different type of person. I'm just amazed by both of you.
Yeah, there's a stigma. To me, there's a stigma against the parents that are involved with the ACS system. And I think, you know, that's why we're going to be going out speaking to the community to try to take that stigma away, because just like Sylvia said, even if they made a mistake, you know, people should be able to get their children back if they do the corrective services, they do the anger management, they do the parenting. And you ask these parents to take care of all of this service plan and they complete it, and you still tell them at the end of the day, we're not going to give you your child back. I think there's something really seriously wrong with the system. It's like a hamster wheel. You got the parents on this wheel going over and over again, but you know you're not going to give them their children at the end of the day. So parents feel like they're hopeless. They feel like the system has failed them. They feel like their rights are being violated. And, you know, I have been reaching out to our elected officials. Every year we go to Washington, D.C., we go to Congress, we're going to be going again, because we really need for them to get involved, because this is not just in New York City. This is a national issue that's taking place in every state. If you speak to each family in each state, they'll tell you the same thing about CPS, that they violate the rights of parents. They're removing children illegally. Children are dying. Children are being molested. Children are being raped. You know, this is a national issue, and we as American citizens here, we all need to come together and take action against CPS and make sure that they're not abusing their power of authority. You know, I'm not saying abolish them, but there needs to be some type of accountability, because when you have a system, you know, that has no checks and balances, and these people could just come in and say and do whatever they want and destroy an innocent family, you know, I think there needs to be some type of accountability. And that's what's happening
absolutely.
Across the nation. Across
Absolutely.
The nation, families are crying because their grandparents can't see their grandchildren. You know, parents are separated. There's a lot of damage that's being done.
And it's being done by the very people that should be protecting children from this kind of abuse and helping parents, parents. And certainly, as you said, if somebody has made a mistake, I mean, we're not, children don't come with a manual. We're not always going to be wonderful parents. We're going to make mistakes. And we learn from those mistakes. And children are very forgiving. And children want to be with their parents.
Yes.
They want to be with their parents. And, and it is a nationwide situation. And I believe the federal government certainly contributes to the abuse. They are promoting the abuse by offering money. And and it's taxpayer money.
So we're going to keep, you know, all we can do is continue to go out there, you know, and fight for the families. We're going to continue bringing awareness. We're going to continue exposing, you know, these injustices. This is all we can do to try to help. You know, we can't help everyone, but we do help most of the people who come through our doors. We have helped and assisted a lot of parents, a lot of foster parents, and a lot of youth. We helped a lot of foster youth that were homeless. We got them apartments. We did housewarmings for them. We got them into college, found jobs for them. And, you know, we're going to continue to try to be that, you know, that resource, a place that they can come to. And what we do is we try to give them hope, because when they come through the doors, they have no hope. And we try to give every parent, every youth, a sense of hope. You're important. You know, you need to learn your rights, and you need to stand up and fight and don't let nobody take advantage of that. We all need to come together and stick together to make sure that our voices are heard in order to address this issue.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned that children are homeless.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that, I know we have a lot of homeless people in the Chicago area. And when you think of the economic situation in this country, that is to be expected. But when you think of the homelessness and the economic situation, that is something that is beyond the scope of many families to handle, because oftentimes hard times fall on families not because of anything that they've done, not because of their own choices or their own issues, but because of the economic situation, and that they don't have a choice about what happens to them. If you make choices and some, if the consequences are there and they're really negative consequences, that's one thing. But when things, bad things happen to families that they did not deserve, did not perpetrate, then they need to have some assistance, and they should not be exploited by a government that should be, well, taking care of its own instead of spending money destroying other countries and doing all the nonsense that that the government seems to be doing.
Yeah, if you look at the prison system here, you, like I said, 70% of the prison system is former foster care kids. And then in New York City, you have about 30% or 40% are the homeless population. So these kids are aging out of foster care to homelessness, and they go on right into the prison system. So, you know, there's something.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so it's not seriously wrong with the system.
All righty. Dorn, we're going to talk about this in 3 minutes. This needs to be talked about.
Hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
USA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of microplant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide only at hempusa.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Doran C. Matthews and Sylvia M. Hooper of the FPA Foundation, and that website is fpafoundation.org. This is just really, really appalling. You were talking about the homeless children who are supposed to the community. The ASCS is supposed to be protecting, and we're talking nationwide that these are children that need our protection, and the very agencies that are supposed to be protecting them are actually exploiting them. They are homeless. They are the people that go into the prison system where they can further be exploited and be forced to take drugs. This is an incredible horrible situation, and as you said, it was nationwide. And we are going to be taking phone calls in the next hour to talk about this. This is deliberate. It is nothing but deliberate. I think. What do you ladies think?
You know, I want to actually get back to the topic of being homeless. You know, from the age of 17 to 23, I was actually homeless myself. And at the time, I really didn't look at it in that way. I kind of felt like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of couch surfing. And now as an adult, reflecting back, that was definitely what it would be termed as. Because if not for me building relationships at my college and the college allowing me to stay at the dorms for extended amounts of time or during holidays or during the summer, or if it had not been for the friends that I had built relationships with and them asking their families and their parents if I could stay with them over holiday breaks or, you know, during the summer and whatnot, I really had no place to go. And even after I finished college, you know, I really began realize that, wow, you know, if everyone else is packing up and they're going home with their families, I found myself alone, completely alone. And, you know, kind of that a turning point in my life where I really realized, Sylvia, you have to really, you know, be your advocate, you know. And again, that just brought me back to the situation when I was 15 and after my mom passed away. I kind of had that kind of slap in the face reality where, you know, it could have been, you know, two different turning points of my life. I could have headed down another path, or I could have chosen a path where, you know, I got my education, I did what I had to do, and regardless of any struggles or challenges, I just stuck in there, and that's what I did. I stuck in there, and I stuck through it, and, you know, I always tell my youth that I work with that you always want to pay attention to the people that have been in your life who have stuck by you, who have supported you, who have really taken a vested interest in you when they didn't have to. You know, these aren't your parents. These aren't your relatives, but these are just individuals that you have met along the way that God has placed into your path that have decided that you mean something to them, you know, and that you're worth it, and that, you know, someone loves you and they support you and they want nothing but the best for you. And these are, you know, people that I am still in contact with now, you know, and I really try to impress upon my youth that you always want to make sure you say thank you, that you appreciate the people that have always gone above and beyond for you. You appreciate the people that take the time out to listen to you, to cradle you, to mentor you. You know, these are the people that can be a part of your life for the rest of your life. And that family doesn't have to include just blood-related or, you know, someone that has raised you, but people that have just kind of come into your life that have loved you and supported you, like I said, even when they didn't have to, you know. So I just wanted to kind of share that part of my life with the listeners out there, too, because, you know, it's not something that's easy for people to talk about. And as I said, you know, while you're kind of going through that, you don't really realize the intensity of it and what it means on a larger scale. You know, I had instances where I would call, you know, to the home that I was living in upstate as everyone was planning on going home for Christmas and so forth. And I would call and I would ask if I could come up there. And, you know, I wasn't welcomed. You know, that was clear. That was very clear and abundantly clear. You know, after my freshman year, that one visit home that first year during Christmas really set the tone. And, you know, it was the fact that, you know, hey, I'm not receiving any more money for you anymore. What's the point of you coming up here? You know, you are of no value to me. And that was definitely communicated in the silence, in the quiet moments, in the fact that I was completely ignored. You know, no one spoke to me in the home. There was no interest taken in, you know, how I was doing in college or how I'm doing in general. So, you know, I had to quickly kind of make some serious decisions, and, you know, I thank God for the gift that he gave me to be able to really build strong relationships with people and, as I said, be able to kind of navigate through that. Because, you know, being in college for 4 years and not really having a place to lay your head during those long breaks and, or even on weekends when you just want to break from the campus life, it can be very tough, you know, especially when you have everyone that's surrounded by you, your roommates, your friends that have a place to call home, you know, regardless. And you know, have someone that they can pick up the other line and call on the phone and say, hey, I need $5, you know. It's a real reality, you know, and something that a lot of kids struggle with, and that's why they don't want to go on to college, because they feel like they don't have that stability and that foundation. And, you know, that hurts my heart, you know, and that really just makes me want to work harder to make sure that these agencies are really held accountable and really do what they need to be doing for these kids, and not really sugarcoating things and not just writing down these beautiful stories about how they're going to make sure that they're going on to college, or they're going to make sure that they get their own apartment, but that you're actually doing that. And what happens more often than not is that the agencies, and I mean the foster care agencies as well as HCS, the child welfare agencies, they always focus on the few and far between success stories, but we really are not looking at the day-to-day failures that have been made. You know, the kids that are falling through the cracks, the kids that after they age out of the system, they're on the streets or they're in the shelter population. We're really not focusing on that data, and that data is apparent, that is a real big issue. And so, you know, what is there to be said of that, you know? And, you know, I kind of take offense to people when they kind of say, oh, you're a success story, you know? I don't really look at it in that way because, you know, I was a kid just like any other, and, you know, I wanted more for myself, and I was blessed to have some people along the way that really supported me and loved me. But, you know, I don't look at it as a success story, like, oh, you made it out. You know, you're the chosen one. And I really think that we can't just kind of pigeonhole kids in that way. We have to look at every small step and every measure that they make and help them to begin to conceptualize that, hey, you know what, this is a really big step for you. This is a really big obstacle that you just overcame, whether it's just passing that math exam or passing the Regents or getting accepted to a particular college that you wanted to of your choice, but really just kind of helping a child to develop and strengthen their independence and their love for themselves so that they can have positive self-esteem and be able to really fend for themselves out in this really cold and difficult world.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that they have to have love for themselves, and they can only get that when other people show them love, and that of course should be part of the job, the function of the agency. Yeah, even though it's an agency, those are people who work in that agency. And they should be helping the children to find that self-esteem as the child goes from, for instance, passing the math test or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is important. That's important for every person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All righty. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour, and we'll take some phone calls.